Welcome to the Good Grief Conversation. I'm your host, Janet Jones, and you're listening to UK Health Radio. This programme brings you honest, gritty, emotional and inspiring conversation around a subject that affects all of us, yet is still very much taboo. So join me now for this inspiring Good Grief Conversation. And welcome once again to this week's The Good Grief Conversation. And this week I have a really wonderful guest with you, as all my guests are wonderful. But this week we are going to be talking to Elizabeth A. Sanchez. And Elizabeth's true passion is health and wellness through connecting the power of the body, mind and soul. For over 25 years, she's been enjoying seeing that life transformations with individuals seeking inner peace, confidence, health and wellness. And Elizabeth helps individuals identify the best tools and techniques to unlock the life they most desire. And in this conversation, Elizabeth and I are talking about one specific technique that can be really helpful at times of grief, and at times where maybe enough time has passed where you are maybe opening up to possibilities to help with the transformation of what grief brings into people's lives. So Elizabeth and I, we dive deep into talking about grief when somebody loses a baby, so has a miscarriage, for instance, or even tries really hard to get pregnant, but they're unable to get pregnant. And those small griefs that go unnoticed and we're all expected to just carry on as normal. And those kind of things have touched Elizabeth's life. And we have a really open and honest conversation about that and about how Elizabeth can help with this particular technique that we talk about. So dive into that conversation right now and you can listen to the advice and kindness that Elizabeth has to offer. Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you and welcome to the Good Grief Conversation.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, it's a joy. I mean, we've only met briefly, and I know in our previous conversation, you know, we were having some really good talks about grief and how we can heal that. And so we're going to extend that conversation to our listeners today. So let's take us back to the kind of things I remember you saying about, you know, the griefs that you've experienced in your life. If we can go back to there and then we'll start the conversation again.
Sure. So I think the one major year that I had with grief was the year that was, I had five deaths from January to April. And although there were two grandmothers in there that they meant so much to my life and to my heart, they were my first losses. And then after that, so they were January and February, and then I had three children, a 17-year-old with heart disease. I worked with her and her mom, a five-year-old who I was a massage therapist for at that time, who had gone in and she had Batten's disease, didn't understand, but I was able to really connect with her and her mother. And then the last one was a woman I worked for, I rented my space from, and her son was 12. And it was all very, very tragic. However, what I learned from that was really to connect to my higher self and the universe and the guides and the angels to understand a little bit more of what life was really all about. And these people were here to teach me rather than to hurt me and to leave my life. So that's how I really got into spirituality and connection and the belief system of there is more to life than what we see. And we're not here to just be in pain, but there's pain and there's a purpose with the pain. And that's what I had a soul heal for myself that year.
Right. So just recapping, how old would you have been roughly when all this was happening to you?
Oh, it was actually, I was about, oh goodness, I'm going to say in my mid-30s, 34-ish, and it was right after 9/11, and I'm a New Yorker. It was very near and dear to my heart, all of that tragedy, and then I was just growing my first business as a massage therapist, so I needed to really help myself in order to help my clients, and we were all going through a lot of tragedy with 9/11. So there was a lot of loss.
Absolutely. That's a lot of loss because, you know, 9/11, it kind of sent grief pretty much all around the world, really. And so you had all that going on, and you're right in the epicenter of all of that as well, plus things that are happening in you personally. So I always describe grief as like, it's almost like you have energy that gets sucked out of you and it is exhausting. Then I guess there's that journey of, I don't mean to say put that energy back, but I guess, I don't know, take that void that is created and expand it into something. I don't even want to say fill it with something because I think all that is incorrect language, but it just kind of expands, doesn't it? You know, so do you think that with all that that happened with 9/11 and the losses that were going on in your life, would you say that that kind of cracked you open in a way?
Oh, definitely, by far. I remember at the time, a lot of other massage therapists were struggling in their private businesses, thinking nobody wanted to pay them because there was such uncertainty in life. And I am one of those people who need to be around other people in order for me to heal. I don't just find myself in a cave. So I was looking and reaching out and connecting with people because I was in pain, both personally and worldwide, globally. And I knew that if I reached out to people, it was going to heal. It was going to help me heal my soul. But then I knew it was the paying forward of helping others heal themselves. And it was a connection.
Yeah. And they do say that if you want to heal your pain, help other people. And if you want to be happy when you're sad, if you want to be happy, then do something for others. It's strange how that works, isn't it? You think that you need to turn in on yourself, but it's almost like that's kind of the wrong direction. You have to take care though.
Yeah, well, it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And that's where I teach a lot of my female clients is that when we heal and we work on being selfish, so we're self-serving, we're able to be selfless. So loving on ourselves, because for me, I need people. I thrive around people. And that's working on myself. But it's also helping others to show up and rise up when they're around you. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, really.
Yeah. And it's part of the infinite flow of life, isn't it? I always think there's the infinite sign that goes like this, and whatever you put into that is what's coming back to you. So if you want love to come back to you, you do need to give that out because whatever you put out is definitely coming back. And at times of grief, though, you know, we can get very angry. And so I guess we're putting anger into that infinite curve. But somehow, I don't know why, at times of grief, maybe it's people have an understanding. I don't know, people are more patient with you and forgiving at times like that.
I think it slows down our being. I think it slows down and calms us and allows us to be loved. And it slows down the energy around us because we're personally in pain, so we're able to receive love. It's interesting because I watch that a lot. When our world is in pain, and like right now, our world is in pain with this whole pandemic happening, but it's a time for us to really have compassion.
And it is okay. It's okay not to be okay, isn't it? But there comes a time when, you know, you've maybe gone far enough down the journey of your grieving. And I always call it a transition. I hate to think of people overcoming something because overcoming is just absolutely the wrong thing. We transition from every grief that we experience comes a transition. But how do we make that a transition? How can we influence that transition? If we know that's the case, how do we then influence that?
I think first and foremost, really just honoring yourself and honoring where you are and just really feeling that place of pain to say, it's okay for me to be in this situation. It's okay for me to feel this, and I need to feel it in order to understand it. And that's the whole aspect of intimacy and being intimate with ourselves so we can really become more alive and intimate with life. You know, life in general, not just that you're achieving something, just really understanding what it feels like to be a human, right?
Yeah, in the moments as opposed to in the big goal kind of arena. I do remember the other thing that we were talking about the other day, we were talking about miscarriages and grief around miscarriages. And I've had a few people now talk to me about that. Of course, I've never had miscarriages, so I don't understand that grief and what happens. Would you mind sharing some of that?
So actually, ironically, after all of that loss between 9/11 and my grandmother's, and I thought for sure, now that I had an angel in heaven, I was going to get pregnant. And I have four nephews, and my sister was able to get pregnant really easily. So then her fourth one, I thought it was going to be mine, and it wasn't. It was hers. So it was really challenging. And I had month after month, loss after loss. And it wasn't that it was a miscarriage, but it was just, it didn't work, right? Years fast forward, my husband and I chose to do an adoption, and we brought home this most beautiful little boy from Russia, and it was all great. And then a few years later, when I wasn't even trying any longer, I did have a pregnancy and a loss. It was here, and one day I felt like I was pregnant, and then the next day I was losing it. And it was a confirmed loss, and I happened to be on a family trip when I got the phone call of the confirmation. We had just landed in Disney, and it was the greatest place on earth, except I was having a miscarriage. And it was something that I needed to just sweep aside. I was going to be fine, and we were supposed to have this wonderful family vacation. So of course I had to ignore it, right? And I think that that's very common in our society, that we just move on. Oh, too bad. It just didn't happen, you know. And part of my heart was so broken that I didn't have anyone to talk to. It wasn't something that was normal in my family. No one really had ever experienced that. I didn't have any friends that had gone through that. So I just moved on. Later in life that I realized I needed to pause and accept and honor myself for that loss, because that's painful.
And honor the soul that was on its way to you. I watched an interesting film at the weekend, actually, and I thought of you, and it's called Heaven is Real. And it's based on a true story of this little boy who he gets sick and he ends up in hospital with appendicitis. And he claimed that he went to heaven and he saw certain things that there's no way that this little boy could have seen that was all happening at the same time. And then, well, his parents had had a miscarriage years before and they didn't know whether it was a boy or a girl, but they had like little baby things and they'd always kept these little baby things. And then the little boy then, when he's in heaven, meets his sister. And he shares this story with his mom. And she's like, oh my God, I have a daughter. It was so moving. And it did make me think, you know, just because that physical body doesn't fully get here, then it doesn't mean that there isn't a soul that is there within that mother. You know, you were just saying about when we're grieving, we must slow down and receive. But in times of miscarriage, you're just expected to continue on at the same rate, back to work, do the normal things. And nobody is really giving you that love that you need from grieving.
Right. And I think that's where it's really important for you to give it to yourself. So maybe the world doesn't understand. There's no funeral involved. There's no mourning involved for everybody else. But there is for you. And again, honoring your soul. But like you said, honoring the baby or that spirit that came to you and just really connecting with that spirit, because that spirit is, it's not coincidental. In my belief system, I don't believe those things just happen. They're here for us, for support, for love, to know that we're never alone. I have a client who recently came to me for grievance of a stillborn, and for 15 years, she was so dark and sad about the loss of this baby. And when we shifted just some of the techniques on what she could have done, instead she started to honor that baby and celebrate that spirit's life. And because the child, the baby was old enough, she did birth it and she did give it a name and they did have a ceremony. She honored him and she had cake for him on the day that his birthday would have been. And she said to me, she goes, Elizabeth, I feel like life is so much better right now. And she has two healthy 13 and 14 year old children. She just allowed his spirit to come alive. And that was the difference. And instead of mourning, they brought the baby alive in their family as though that child had a purpose. It made so much of a difference, and it continues to.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's about looking at things in a different way, isn't it? You know, but even with miscarriages, I always remember a friend of mine, they had three miscarriages before having their two children. And their philosophy is, if those three had survived, these two wouldn't exist. But they're all part of the family. We've had five children, technically, you know. So I just think it's so interesting how to look at it. And like you say, to honor yourself, because there's no badge saying I've had a miscarriage, I'm in pain. And then other people's expectations on you are, you know, they're mismatched as to the energy that you can bring into a situation. So what can we do then to honor ourselves? I mean, we can take nice baths and tell ourselves we're great. I always go, I love you, you know, to myself and go, you're doing really well. And I think those things are important. But what else can we do?
Well, I think, you know, just number one, being honest with yourself that you are in pain, that it was a very sad moment for you and that you do have a feeling of loss. So to just connect with where you are and the awareness of it, that you're not going to sweep this under the carpet and just move on. And maybe you did, like I did. I went to work, you know, you just carry on. But I think that one's pausing and saying, wow, it is okay for me to just honor that I was sad, that I am sad, that I feel angry, whatever, all the grievance feelings you go through. Honor them where they are. You don't have to explain yourself to anybody, but find somebody who does understand or who does want to just hold, what I say, hold space for you to listen, to just hear you, to feel you, to see you. And having that person there just to know that you're validated, which is really big.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, it would be a good idea to say that to, you know, the husband or partner, just say, I really need you to listen to me. You don't need to give me any answers, but I do need you to listen so they can get to understand what's going on.
And there's a level of grief, I know, for us when we were trying to get pregnant and then would not have, and the pain. One of the things that my husband said to me was the pain that he had for not just himself, but also for me, it was double. And I didn't even look at his end of it. I didn't look at his side because I knew I was just in pain. And I felt very alone in my pain, but he brought it to my attention that he was sad for himself as well as me and us. So, you know, sometimes you're right, just even allowing your spouse to have an insight on what you're feeling. And not that he needs to take that pain away from you, but just to be there with you gives you that opportunity to just connect.
And then I guess going back to what we were saying earlier, that to feel better, you help someone else. It may then be the time to say, and I'll listen to you. share with me, even though, you know, I'm suffering, I want to help and understand you also. Because it's so easy for communication to totally break down at times of grief, or grief from child miscarriages or not even getting pregnant, because like you've said, that's a grief in itself, just when it doesn't work. You know, but we hold it so quietly to ourselves, don't we? And then it shows up in our behavior. I think it's so important to understand that.
Right. And then we do see ourselves being angry or feeling sad or depressed. And what I say in my terminology, that's an energy that we're holding on to. And it's a dark side of our energy. And it does need to be released. And even to your point of like finding somebody else to share with, I know it took me until I was in my 40s to understand, even as a life coach, like I want to help and heal others. So I always wanted to give you the solution. And instead, it's just holding each other, not trying to fix it. Can't take it away from you. You need to heal in your own timing and your own process, however it works for you. And I always say, if we're just moving, if we're doing something to feel in, sense into why you're, what do you need to learn from this? I believe that everything happens for a message, a lesson, or a test, whether we like it or not. It's just a part of life. And not all life looks pretty.
It doesn't. But aren't we sold that that's how it should look? Every which way we turn, it's like, you know, this is how life is meant to be. And then we feel life is unfair if it doesn't go our way. And it's like, well, who told you that it would do, you know?
Right. Well, look at, I mean, all those years that I was trying to get pregnant, I was going to some of the best fertility specialists in Manhattan. And then I had to adopt, but I adopted one of the most amazing little boys. And we feel so grateful. But tell me, for 7 years trying, that was fair or unfair, or it was what it was.
It was what it was.
It was the pain that I had to go through,
yeah.
Right?
And even in times of pain, it's really good to accept and just say, it is what it is. Then we do then have to become proactive in our own journey also, I feel, because life is short. And we want to get these lessons and get the joy back into our life. So let's now talk about these things called chakras, which is why I got you on here. But if somebody's feeling like they've come to a space now in the grieving process where they're going, right, I now need to take action. What's one of the first things that they can do to lift their energy up? Because I found until you lift your energy up, life's really hard, you know?
Yeah. And I often say it's when you get to the point that you are sick and tired of being sick and tired of your story. So you keep hearing yourself saying the same thing and you just feel like, oh, this story is just, oh, I'm so over it. That's when you have to shift and that's when you have to make decisions. One, that's when your emotional system is telling you it doesn't match your physical. It doesn't match your soul reason for being here. And so one thing you might notice is some physical ailments to get to that place, like sleeplessness, anxiety, skin issues, hormonal issues, a variety of physical ailments show up, and they're there not coincidentally, but to tell you your emotional system's off. So if we balance our emotional system, which is called the chakra system, we can help our physical being get balanced and feel well and be in that healthy being, right? So noticing where those things show up, a lot of times when clients come to me, I'll say, tell me some of your physical ailments, and I'm able to match what may be off in their physical or their emotional, but just movement. First of all, first and foremost, movement is a huge thing to just shift and change. Posture. sitting up properly.
You've made me sit up straight now.
Even that, just knowing that when we sit up, that aligns our spine and that aligns our emotional system, our chakras. So just sitting into our being in the way that it's designed to be, that helps balance.
Okay, let's just come back a little bit because, you know, there may be people listening who's the first time they've heard the word chakra. So just give me a recap what that is. What does it look like?
Okay, so this chakra system is the seven systems that we work with typically. They go from the base of our spine to the top of our head. And when we work, we just balance each one of them. So each one, which governs different parts of our body, of our physical body, we bring that into balance, which then we can bring the system into balance. So your physical being. They have an emotional governing, a physical governing, a spiritual governing, and it just changes how you look at things, how you feel physically, and even emotionally. So that's a really, really small tidbit, but I know we're going to talk about one of the free offers that will give you more details at the end that I'll be able to give you more on each chakra.
So they all have different energies, different emotional stuff. You know, how do you ignite the chakras then to give us energy and to raise our being up?
So number one, I would say imagining the colors. So all the different colors, each one has a specific color that we connect with. The first one's red and then it goes orange, yellow, green, throat, blue, third eye, indigo, and then white or purple, violet on the crown. And so color would be a really big deal. A lot of times with my clients, I'll either suggest specific colored foods, wearing something specific like the color blue that you have on is great for your throat or even your third eye. So a variety of different techniques and tools that don't necessarily need to be so spiritual, but influential. So blue foods to help you speak clearer, or crystals that support your emotional body. Just so many different tools to bring balance into the chakras.
So these are quite subliminal things, aren't they, that, you know, just sit around you as opposed to you taking the effort? Because again, with grief, it's exhausting. So to be able to do something on a subtle basis is a really good idea.
Yes. And I love that you bring that up. There's a lot of times some of my clients that have no energy whatsoever, I'll suggest to them, you know, hold a crystal. I always have crystals around. I'm holding one as I speak. They're surrounded by me. So that would be a way. Bring colors, flowers. And color could be anything that you feel attracted to. It's communicating with you. Foods, bright, vibrant foods, things that are alive. You already have to eat. So I always say suggest foods that are so vibrant, like pineapple, so yellow, right? A lot of times in the winter time when we're hunkering down for the winter, we pick foods that are heavy or slower, bringing us coziness. There's a reason for that.
Yes, yeah, because we want that warmth and we want to be hugged and we get hugged by our food. So if you can be hugged by your food, you can create energy from that whole thing too. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and just even trying to find foods that allow you to feel alive. So I say foods that are raw and healthy versus where when we're in grief, we want to just eat just to eat. But foods that are going to make us feel alive, that make us feel happy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. My first year is what I've just been gone through. It was the anniversary a few weeks ago. And pretty much that whole year, I've just lived on carbohydrates and absolute rubbish food because I just grabbed food. And now for me, my energy is just starting to come back. And I've started to go, you know what? I do care about myself now. And food is one of the things that now I've really started to pay attention to. And it is having a really big impact on my emotional well-being to now dump the carbohydrates and eat those foods that you've been just talking about that are fresh and as much raw as you can and all of that makes a big difference.
Yes. Anything that's alive, anything that's going to, you know, align with you, it's nourishing your being, but it's also helping your being not be so bogged down by the sugars and carbohydrates that are unnecessary for you.
Absolutely. Because they sap your energy at the end. They give you a little bit and then they take that and more from you. So it is a good idea to dump as and when that time is appropriate for you. You know, grief is a personal journey, but a lot comes down to choosing to, making choices.
Absolutely. Like even taking walks and being out in the nature and smelling the flowers and the fragrances, just taking notice to the animal kingdom. You know, who shows up? What animal is showing up? And just connecting with that, because there is a oneness with the universe. There's no difference between us and an animal. They have a life, they have a heartbeat, they need to eat too. But there's this connectedness that we can get life from. And it's just knowing that we're together, for the lack of anything else, but we're together. And I know a lot of people who are in grieving notice certain animals that show up that have a symbolic feeling to that person maybe that they lost. And there's a communication there, and it's not coincidental.
I totally agree, because it's different for everybody as well. So if it was that all robins was that, you know, other person, but it's not. For some, it might be a butterfly or a bird or a seagull, or, you know, for me, I keep getting flies, and I'm sure this is a joke of my son, you know, right in the early days. I'm going, just show me a sign, son, you know, just show. And then this fly starts buzzing around my head. I'm going, right, okay, you know, because he did have a wicked sense of humor. I was like, that would be so typical. I'll come to annoy you as a fly.
And I love that you're seeing that, like that you're acknowledging it, not ignoring it, and paying attention, like, oh, I love your sense of humor, and I'm so glad that you still have it.
Yeah, I can't kill a fly now, though. I have a cat that sometimes eats them, and I'm like, oh. Slightly guilty. So really, to raise your energy is looking at all these things in nature. And we can start that off by being aware of our chakras and how we can use that.
Right. Just noticing what color you're really attracted to, that helps you to know what would be off. And in the free offer that I'll give, we'll go through all the different colors. So you'll learn which colors match what area of what's going on and what emotional connection it has. But also just notice what you're gravitating towards. And again, not a coincidence, and it's all good.
If you're attracted to things with a specific color, would you say that's a sign to you that's really saying this is a chakra that kind of, you know, needs attention and some healing? What chakra is the yellow chakra?
That's the solar plexus, which happens to be right underneath your, like where your ribs are, where you feel like your gut. So it's your gut instinct. It's the fire in your belly. It's the just knowing. A lot of times it also feels out of balance by, I can't hear my gut senses, or I'm sluggish and my shoulders fold forward and my gut goes inward. So again, that posture is really important to hold that yourself up. Just feeling into the, what is my fire? And you probably have noticed as you're starting to notice that you're coming alive again, that your fire is building in you, feeling like I'm alive. You're going with your intuition. You're going with your gut feeling. You're probably attracting more yellow into your life.
Yeah. The reason why I ask about the yellow is, and I very rarely share this story. So I lost my son on the Sunday, and this was on the Monday or Tuesday. I'd been making the phone calls as you have to do, and people saying, no, you know, you'll be fine. You'll get over this. I was just sat in the garden and I thought, there is no getting over this. I was like, my life has changed color. And I just thought, I wonder what color my life is now. All right, this is all dialogue going on in my head. And instantly, the color yellow came in. And I was kind of told it was yellow. And I was like, oh, yellow it is then. Because I didn't go through, oh, Well, quite a fancy blue or a red would be nice. You know, there was no choosing. The yellow then brought incredible comfort and it showed up everywhere. I wore a yellow dress to my son's funeral, which I prefer to say his final farewell party, but it was a profound color. And I've often wondered why, you know.
Well, again, it was something against your will to lose your son, which is your willpower in your gut. But also you were choosing to bring the vibrancy of yellow into your life to support you, to know that there is life beyond what we see. And whether or not we like what we see and whether or not we like what we are feeling, we need to still live. And there's still fire in you and there's still movement and beauty within life in spite of you not having your physical son here.
Yeah, these are fascinating. I think the chakras are absolutely fascinating. And I know we are going to, or you are, going to delve deeper into this. There's only so much that we can do in this short broadcast. But tell us a little bit about what you can do for our free gifts in the podcast extras.
So the extra is going to be an informative on what the chakras are and then how to balance it if you feel like it's out of balance or overactive, and how, what tools that you'll be able to take or implement into your life to find balance within that. The thing about the chakras is what's cool about this, even doing this little video for you, it will be something that you can go back to if you say, oh, I'm being attracted to a specific color. What does that mean? You'll be able to go back to it because we balance and go in and out of balance of our chakras. That's why I love to teach them, because you don't just fix it and it gets right. It can get thrown out of balance by a variety of things. It could be imbalance right this moment, and then us get off this podcast, something happens and we lose balance in one chakra or another. So it's about knowing how to get it back. And it's like a muscle. You just want to exercise them. You want them to stay in check. You want them to stay in balance. And by paying attention to them, you're able to emotionally and physically and spiritually and mentally be balanced with them.
They sound amazing. And so is it worth developing a daily practice to keep them in balance?
Absolutely.
And we'll know that in this video, what to do.
Yep. It'll be simple, informative. And then from there, if there's more questions or information you want, you can reach out to me.
Yeah. And how do we reach out to you then, Elizabeth?
So you can always find me at my website, which is ElizabethASanchez.com, or you can always email me at Elizabeth@ElizabethASanchez.com. I'm also found on Facebook by the same name, and I run an organization called MagnificentMamas.com. Basically helping balance and doing soul healing circles and things like that for women.
Oh, that sounds great. Is that with groups of women online that you're doing that with?
Yes, women of all walks of life, all ages and stages. And then we have a women in business who are also the Magnificent Mamas in Biz.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I wish that had been around when my children were small. I mean, that just sounds amazing.
And that's the idea. It's really not for just women who are having children that are younger. There's women who have dogs as their children. It's really for all people. I call it the Magnificent Mamas because I believe that we are all nurturers.
I love that. Elizabeth, thank you so very much for your conversation today. That's been really enlightening. And I feel in a happy space today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And it is just nice to see your vibration show up too.
Well, you've made me sit up straight. Clearly, the color blue was obviously a subconscious choice today.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It looks beautiful on you too.
Thank you. For anybody who's just listening to this, you might want to watch the video. It will be available on YouTube eventually if you want to see my jumper. Oh, Elizabeth, thank you so much, and I'm sure we will speak again very soon.
I look forward to that. Thanks.
Oh, I could have just kept on talking with Elizabeth. That was such a lovely conversation and just get so much out of that. Now, I know that she is putting together this great gift for you listeners, and it will be available in the podcast extras. She's going to dive deeper into chakras, understanding a lot more about them and how you can tap into balancing your chakra alignment and maybe what a daily practice is that you could be doing also. And like she said, it's going to be a tool that you can come back to time and time again. And if you want to connect with Elizabeth, then you can do over on Facebook is a really good space. You'll find her at Elizabeth A. Sanchez. And within the podcast extras, you'll be able to find other links to Elizabeth too. I hope you've thoroughly enjoyed that, got a lot out of that, and it's brought some peace and harmony into your life and giving you some inspiration as to what you can do for your healing and how to move your life forward and transition into the life that is meant for you. I'm Janet Jones. I'm your host of The Good Grief Conversation. And if you would like to join the podcast extras, just head over to www.thegoodgriefconversation.com. And when you head over there, you will also find the opportunity to help to support this program. And I've given three opportunities. One is the podcast extras is always free because the most important thing is that this information gets out there. But there is also the opportunity to support us with either the price of a paperback or the price of a hardback book. There are many, many, many resources now in the podcast extras, and it is fantastic value. So head on over there, come and join us, join the conversation, join the community. We're all here to help and to make life amazing. So go to thegoodgriefconversation.com. I'm your host, Janet Jones. You are listening to The Good Grief Conversation on UK Health Radio. I will see you next week with even more amazing guests. In the meantime, you take great care of yourself, and I will speak to you very soon.